Becoming Amazing, the podcast all about deep and joyful learning from the team at Bird Brain Technologies. I'm your host, Sarah FitzHenry, robot fairy godmother and all-around education enthusiast. Bird Brain is known for its groundbreaking technology for students, but this podcast is all about the grown-ups that guide and inspire them. And I have another wonderful childlike grown-up today that I cannot wait to introduce you to. As soon as I say this name, all the listeners are going to be like, oh my goodness, because this guest is kind of a celebrity on social media. I feel like you're kind of an influencer, like education celebrity. My guest today is a science teacher. So that's definitely one part of their identity, but also this kind of STEM, physical computing, and CS expert, this creative inspiration and just passionate speaker and writer and educator, works with the Microbit Foundation, works with CodeJoy, just very well known for her work in this field. So thank you so much for being here, Amanda Jean.
Thank you so much for having me. Man, what a flattering introduction.
I mean, it's very easy to flatter you. You really, there's a lot of great things to say about you.
I'm so glad. I just consider it all like, I'm just working, man. I'm always working. I never think about it as being all this wonderful, flattering stuff, but I enjoy what I'm doing for sure.
Speaking of what you are doing, I mean, if anybody doesn't know you yet, fill us in. Who are you? What is your teaching story?
Yeah, so I'm currently a science teacher at a private Quaker school, and I teach second through fifth grade, and it's really cool and a very unique job because as a science teacher at the school, I'm a specials teacher. So like, you know, art class and PE, all of the kids come to me as a special, and I get to really explore and focus on science and do a lot of integrating, and I get to design my own curriculum, and it's really a lot of fun. I have a lot of animals in my classroom, and I have, I know.
Wait, people... pause. What kind of animals do you have in your classroom?
Oh, that's, you're ready? It's a long list.
Okay, I'm ready.
So at home, I have two dogs, but I also have two snakes. I have a bearded dragon, which is a type of lizard. I have two turtles. And I have two cockroaches as well.
Pet cockroaches?
Yeah, they're Madagascar hissing cockroaches. And they're so great to have in a classroom for so many reasons. They're really easy to handle. They're completely harmless animals. A lot of my animals I have, because obviously I love animals, but they kind of help kids combat their own ideas about what something actually is versus what they thought.
Sure. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I can add that to your intro, Amanda Jean, changing the reputation of cockroaches with children. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you. I just had to know about the animals. So you're perfectly currently okay. A science teacher for grades 2 through 5 as part of the specials rotation. That's so great. Keep going.
It's so great. It's so cool. I also am a Microbit champion, which is a really amazing program run by the Microbit Educational Foundation, where they bring together educators from all over the world who love Microbit. And our job is to help share that love of Microbit with other educators and students all over the world. It's a really cool network. I do part-time work with the Microbit Educational Foundation, and I also do part-time work with CodeJoy, which is what I've been doing here all summer in Pittsburgh. And it's just coming to a close. This is my last week, and then I head home back to Philly. So.
Oh, wow. So no summer is off for you. You are busy over the summer.
Yeah. I've always been that teacher who took advantage of the summer to make extra money. I mean, why not? I'm always doing summer camps, working somewhere, going to conferences. It's less than 3 months. They say it's 3 months. 3 months is a lie. We all know this. Yes. It's not really 3 months. It's 2.5 months to do some other things outside my classroom, you know, and that's what I've always used it for. So.
How did you get in? Did you always want to be a teacher, or is that something that you fell into by accident? Like, how did education become your field?
That's a good question. I always love school. I love school. I still love school. I'm constantly going back. I have my master's. I intend on getting my doctorate at some point, but I just loved school. And I've always, especially in elementary school, I had teachers who were like, oh, she's going to be a teacher. And I, you know, grew up with that message in my mind a lot, and hearing that from lots of different places. And even my parents are like, oh, you're just going to be a teacher. And I went to college originally not to be a teacher. I went as a bio major because I wanted to be a doctor. Oh. And it was a little bit of headbutting because I was like, I'm going to do what I want. I'm not going to do what my parents said. I'm going to just go be a doctor, not a teacher. And then I got there. And I liked some things about it, right? I liked biology, but I had a chemistry class and I went to chemistry class, Chem 101. And I sat there the very first day and I listened to the professor speak and I took the syllabus and I went back to my dorm room and I dropped Chem 101 and I added intro to ballroom dancing. And that was the end of my career of thinking I was going to be a doctor.
A real twist. I was not expecting that.
I know. It was, and then I changed my major to be I went to Westchester University. I was a EGP major, early grades preparation is what they called it.
Oh, okay.
And I got my degree to be an elementary teacher, which was the right choice. It was a good choice.
That's good to hear. It was that ballroom dancing class that really nudged you in the right direction, right? Shout out to ballroom dancing.
Shout out to all my dancing friends. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I ended up doing ballroom dancing all the way through college. So that was great. Yeah. But, you know, I'm not a professional dancer.
Yes.
I'm a professional educator.
Yeah. You never know what growth mindset, right? So you made your way into teaching from, you know, not being a doctor. And then how did you land in the world of technology and physical computing and creative robotics from that education and elementary education background?
Yeah. So I was really fortunate to have very early exposure to Bird Brain Technologies, actually, my first year of teaching. So my first year of teaching, I mean, if you can't tell, I guess, by my resume that I'm a busy person, I am a very busy person and I like to keep busy. And in my first year, I was convinced I had to say yes to everything because I wanted them to know my name. I wanted to be that person that you go to for whatever. And the administrators in my school district at the time, they came to my school and I put myself out there to meet them. I wanted to meet them. I wanted them to know who I was. And an administrator invited me to this day-long professional development for creative robotics. And Bird Brain Technologies came to my school district because this administrator had brought them in. He was originally from Pittsburgh and he ended up on the other side of Pennsylvania where I was. And it was Katie Henry was their professional development person.
The best.
I know. And it was really, it's so crazy right now to think about it. She was so early on in her career and I was so early on in my career. And I was the only classroom teacher there that day. It was all librarians. So all the librarians had been invited to this PD. And I just got like randomly invited because I was willing to say yes to anything.
And the librarians were like, come on in.
Yeah, they were all like wonderful and nice and friendly. Like, you know, because you were a librarian, right?
That's what we do. Yeah.
So I learned about Bird Brain that day. And I did a day-long PD. We did Finch and it was Hummingbird Duo at the time. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with it. It was so cool. I mean, we made like robot animal things and I made a bat and I had the distance sensor like change its eyes with the LEDs or something in that PD that day. I thought, this is so cool. I have to do this. And I went to my principal and the administrator and said, if you buy this for me, I will do it. And they did. They bought me, you know, a classroom set of kits for Hummingbird and for Finch. And that started my endless career with Bird Brain Technologies. And I integrated it into everything that I was doing. I wrote after school programs. I wrote summer camps. I did like district-wide initiatives with Bird Brain Technologies. And Bird Brain was so wonderful to me all along the way. You know, they were so great at taking me to conferences with them. And every once in a while, there'd be like a workshop in my area and they'd ask me to go and do that workshop for them. So I've just had a wonderful career. I feel like I owe a lot of it to Bird Brain Technologies.
I had no idea that Bird Brain was like your superhero origin story. Like this is so, and that's one of the things that I love about Bird Brain is that we make connections with these educators and love to watch them grow and flourish and celebrate what they do. And our kind of flock, our family really reaches wide. And I don't know if you remember, Amanda, but I am in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is 5 hours from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yes. But when I was a teacher librarian, it must have been back in 2016, maybe 2017, mm-hmm. went to a hackathon at the school where I was working at the time, and who was leading a workshop on the hummingbird duo, but Amanda Jean. And it was my first introduction to hummingbird was through you six or 7 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that. And that I was a second year teacher when I was doing that. And I remember going to Charlottesville. I remember meeting you. And I remember thinking that you were a really cool librarian.
Yes, thank you. Awesome.
Yes. And I met some other really amazing educators when we were there as well. And I think I like weirdly and inadvertently ended up inspiring a fellow colleague of yours, Andrea, from what I've heard, was kind of tech hesitant before that. Uh-huh. And then she met me and I told her all about this like crazy project I was doing with Hummingbird with my fourth graders. And she was teaching fourth grade, I think. And she ended up deciding, I'm going to do it too. I'll do that project as well. And then we presented that at the Scratch conference.
Oh my gosh. That is so cool. Just spreading the excitement everywhere you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm easily excited by cool stuff and Bird Brain's cool, but Hummingbird especially is, I call it my third hand because I use it for everything. If ever I'm wondering, what should I do with this? Or it needs to be more interesting, or how do I get kids more hands-on? Bird Brain, Hummingbird was my go-to. And so for me, it's easy to share that with everyone else, and especially in lots of contexts, because I have actually used the Hummingbird in a lot of contexts. I've used it in math class. I've used it in ELA. I've used it in after school programs. I've used it as a computer science tool. Like I've used it in a lot of ways. So it's easy for me, at least, to share that with other people, you know?
And your passion for it and excitement about it and your deep skill with the tool really comes across when you're teaching with it. And so your confidence and excitement really makes other people feel like they can do it as well. From a tool that can be intimidating, if you're just looking at it for the first time in the box, it looks like a bunch of scary wires and things that you don't know what they are. And so to have somebody walk up and be like, this is so great, you're going to love it, is kind of like, okay, this person can use it. They say, I'm going to like it. It must be okay. So I feel like we've heard a lot of high points, but there must have been some challenges along the way, right? Like, can you share a challenging moment and maybe a particularly rewarding moment from your time in the classroom with teachers or students?
Yeah. So I would say my first school that I was in, where I started doing all of this stuff, was challenging because the environment and the culture there was not what I needed to successfully thrive in trying new things. Mm-hmm. So my principal was uncomfortable with me doing things out of the norm. And my fellow teachers, it's not necessarily their fault, but they definitely othered me in lots of ways because they were uncomfortable with a lot of these things, these ideas that I was trying. because it was out of their comfort zone. And that's perfectly okay if something's out of your comfort zone. So I'd say like my biggest challenge has been being in environments that aren't necessarily conducive to trying those new things. But out of that came me finding my tribe, per se, in other places. So because I wasn't getting that kind of support at my school, I looked for it in other places. When I was going to conferences, you know, when I went to Charlottesville to see you and your colleagues at that hackathon, my friends at Bird Brain Technologies, people on the internet building a PLN, I really expanded a lot in that space, you know, outside of my school, outside of my school district. And it gave me the wonderful gift of recognizing that first, there are people everywhere who are interested in what you're doing. And second, I never felt like I needed to be stuck somewhere. That was really important for me early on. I always wanted to be a teacher in some way, right? And I got my first teaching job and I thought, this is amazing. Like, I'm going to be here for a while. And sometimes, you know, that excitement pulls the door shut on you because you get so excited about one thing that you stop seeing the big picture. Mm-hmm. And I was able to have such a bigger picture. I was able to keep my door cracked open and eventually widen it all the way because I was constantly reaching out of that space that I was in. And, you know, I don't dislike the school that I have left since then. And it's okay that those people weren't comfortable with what I was doing. You know, everyone has their things and this was not their thing. And that's fine. But it allowed me a lot of flexibility in realizing I can go anywhere and do anything that I want to do. I'm not stuck in that classroom. I'm not stuck in one place. And I definitely have felt, having met lots of teachers at this point, that I think teachers kind of get stuck sometimes. You know, they come up with a lot of reasons why they have to stay in one place. And you really don't have to. You can do whatever you want to do.
Wow. I'm so glad you bring this up because I feel like as educators, we talk a lot about creating an environment that is welcoming and warm and supportive for students to take risks, to make mistakes, to try new things, to try on kind of different identities and see what they like. And I don't know that I've ever spoken to an educator about creating that environment for educators. But it's so true. The people that you're working with, the environment that you're in, the professional development that you receive, because your administration is in charge of that, that can really set the tone for whether you branch out and try something new or whether you're kind of encouraged to stay in your lane and just do what's on your syllabus. Yeah. And if you're a teacher who's craving something different and you're in a school that isn't looking for something different, that's really hard.
Yeah, it's very challenging for sure. It also, you know, it brings up exactly that point of thinking about what's best for teachers and the environment that you want to be in. You know, I think it's really natural for me, and I think a lot of the educators that you speak to and a lot of people that we know, to make great environments for kids, you know, and there's a lot of talk and a lot of focus on that, but there isn't as much talk. There's talk, it's just not as much about the environment for teachers. And I think that is something uniquely important. You know, we talk about teacher burnout being a big deal these days and lack of subs and, you know, not having enough pay and all of these factors that go into teachers feeling good about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And the environment is a big part of that. I was very lucky after that experience of seeking out other positions where I had principals or administrators or environments that really cared very much about me. So, you know, my current job, there is a lot of flexibility, partly because it's the type of school that I am working at. You know, it's a private Quaker school. So they let me design my curriculum, so on and so forth. But one of the things that attracted me to the job initially was that I could feel, and it was very evident, that they respected me for who I was. They appreciate me as an expert in what I do, and no one has ever questioned me on that. I go about and I do my job every single day, and everyone regards me as that expert, you know, even if I am not, which is good and bad. But it's just like a more respectful environment that I've found myself in. And having had that now, that's what I'll expect from myself going forward. I won't ever put myself or be in a position where I'm not surrounded by that kind of respect and supportive environment that wants me to not only be who I am, but be the best version of that, you know?
Oh, that is so powerful. And I'm thinking we probably have a lot of educators that are listening right now and kind of nodding along. And it is the time where not all educators are treated as experts. And it's a job that it's just not an easy job to do right now. And so hearing you say with such confidence, I am the expert and I deserve to be treated that way. And you do too. That's incredibly powerful. And that's great advice to give to teachers. But do you have any other advice to give to teachers specifically that are looking to get started with creative robotics, with technology, maybe to take a risk? Maybe they're in an environment where they feel like they can't. What about those teachers whose doors are closed and they want to crack them open?
Yeah, I think that the best way first to get to our friends who have a door closed is to sneak in the door. And ideally, someone in their environment is invested in them and say, hey, you know, what is it that you're interested in? I know that my way of getting to fellow colleagues and teachers who are super hesitant or turned off completely by exploring technology, the number one thing I do is ask them about their problems and think about ways to help them solve their problems. Mm-hmm. So that's like a very, you know, ed tech coach kind of approach. And yeah. I'm not officially an ed tech coach. My master's degree is in that, educational technology and being a coach and whatnot, but I'll ask them what their problems are. And the first thing I usually do is I'll solve one of their problems with something that they are comfortable with to gain that trust. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't have anything to do with tech. I'll be like, let me make you a worksheet or something. And then once we get past that point, I can say, well, I actually have something easier than a worksheet for you. And being open to whatever direction it is they need to go in. But my friends who are a little hesitant about maybe like robotics, creative robotics, but are open to trying something, I would invite them to come in and experience something that I'm doing or students are doing so that they get the feel. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the biggest barrier with a lot of these tools, a lot of robotics, and a lot of the success that I've seen with BirdBrain, with MicroBit, with CodeJoy, whatever, has been when they invite someone in to see it happen, you know, and they get the feel before they're asked to do anything or perform any task or whatever. They get the feel, you know, and they see kids do it, or they have a video that they can go back to or whatever, so that they can say, oh, I like this is kind of interesting, you know, like their interest is piqued, and then they can jump in. And to be totally honest, they're much better supported when they have professional development opportunities. So there are a lot of great ways to find those. There are a lot of opportunities, particularly for public school teachers. Mm-hmm. So public school teachers are in a wonderful position in that they can get a lot of grants or work with organizations who have grants to support those needs. A lot of our states are doing initiatives to help teachers get this kind of experience. So especially as a public school teacher, there are opportunities there to go get that PD so that you can, you know, put your toe in the water, you can get a little experience, you can feel comfortable before you start. And then when you get to go with your kids, you have that spark, right?
Yeah.
My first experience, BirdBrain, was a professional development with BirdBrain. They came to our school and they were with us all day. Would I have ever done it had I not had that day with Katie? I don't think I would have. I mean, maybe I would have seen it on the internet or on Twitter or whatever, but you don't know what you're looking at until
it wouldn't feel the same. Yeah.
So there are a lot of great opportunities. I know that state by state, there's a lot of cool initiatives that like different states are doing, or new legislation being passed to support different things, especially in computer science. But this summer, working with CodeJoy, we work with the Emphasis Foundation USA, mm-hmm. and they do so much for teachers. When I tell people randomly about them, I'm like, they're just dishing money out. Like, that's really their goal. They mm-hmm. want, particularly with CS and Maker Education, those are like their big platforms that they put a lot of time and effort into. But all the teachers that we worked with that did their Summer Pathfinders initiative this summer all got free stuff, free PD, you know, amazing experience, personal connections. They got all of that from, you know, doing a week-long PD with whoever. You know, I did PD with CodeJoy through them, but I know BirdBrain Technologies offered professional development for them, and a lot of other big ed tech companies were also offering PD this summer. So that's I would put that on the list of things to do next summer. Keep an eye out on Emphasis Foundation USA and see what they're offering, because a lot of times it's a really great experience and it's a lot of free stuff. And it's free.
You mentioned CodeJoy. I mean, just the work that CodeJoy does is so, the joy is in the name for a reason. It is so joyful. And if you are needing a spark of magic to kind of inspire you, if robotics is starting to feel like just another thing that you need to do, you can attend a CodeJoy student show for free, right?
Yeah, so CodeJoy does a lot of things. So they do professional development for teachers. Mm-hmm. They sell hardware. So we do sell BirdBrain Technologies equipment. They do live interactive student shows. And this summer, or this school year, I should say, we're going to start building asynchronous content, which is really cool.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So the live student shows in particular are truly an innovation that I would never have come up with. Matt and Kelsey are the masterminds there, but it is live interactive television. So they took all the best stuff about TV and what makes it cool and fun, and then they made it interactive. So your kids in your classroom, wherever they are, get to control our robots in the studio live here in Pittsburgh in the midst of the class. And all of their shows are so funny and enjoyable, and they have, you know, some good messaging behind those as well. So mm-hmm. one of their shows is Robot Mini Golf, which I really like a lot. And part of the idea of it is how do we deal with unfair systems? So they go to the mini golf course and it's the unfair way. And it's very, very quirky and adorable. And they experienced some unfair circumstances that they have to work through, you know, mm-hmm. so that their main character, Elvie, who's this cute little cardboard box robot guy, he can get the kazoo that he really wants from the mm-hmm. prize booth. So it's fun and it's cute. They're learning how to do robotics all along the way. They're learning coding, and there's good stuff in there, and it's interactive. I mean, what is better? Instead of just turning on some, you know, random video in your class that day, you could be jumping on with Matt and Kelsey and the kids are interacting with the television.
It's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for robots. And if the names Matt and Kelsey sound familiar, it's because all of our BirdBrain fans out there, they are the incredible duo that put together BirdBrain's professional development, our free professional development, those self-paced video courses that you know and love. And they also cover a lot of our professional development that's customized for school districts. So, I mean, they know what they're doing, and they brought Amanda Jean on. So clearly they are taking this new content very seriously, because you just don't get any better than Amanda Jean. That's so exciting to hear. And any teachers that are looking to get started and just want to see how mm-hmm. magical robotics can be and mm-hmm. how much joy it can bring to students, I really suggest that you look into CodeJoy and attend a student show, because yeah. it's robotics is a very different vibe than teaching other subjects and other strategies. And to get a feel for it that way, you'll never want to stop. Yep. It's time for my favorite final question.
Ooh.
Amanda Jean, what makes you a flocking amazing educator?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it's that I work hard. I'm sure other people would say different things, but I think I appreciate and I feel strongly about myself that I work extremely hard. And whatever it is that you ask me to do, I'm going to do it 110% in whatever corner of my life that is coming from. So if it's CodeJoy and they're saying, come on for the summer and join us, I'm going to do it 110%. Or if it's at school and there's a kid who needs to figure out how to build said robot, we're going to do it 110%. So I am a very, very hardworking person.
You're a hustler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I 100% agree. You are like hardest worker on the internet. Can I say that? Is that a thing? Oh, well, thank you so much for taking time out of what I know has been an incredibly busy summer, and you're prepping to go back to school, and you're prepping for a move, and you guys just wrapped up this fabulous make-a-thon from last week. So to get this bit of your time, I'm so grateful that you came here to talk to me. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, Sarah. It's been delightful, and I am excited to hear this podcast and many more that are to come. I'm looking forward to it being part of my routine of going to school every day, listening to Flocking Amazing.
Thank you. And for anyone who's listening who might not follow Amanda Jean yet, in case we have not made enough of a case, you absolutely should. Tons of inspiration and excitement about teaching. I will link all of that for you so you can find it on the resources for this episode. Amanda, thank you again.
Thank you, Sarah.
Listeners, thank you for joining us for Flocking Amazing, the podcast for quick bite-sized conversations with real teachers sharing their real expertise and providing real inspiration to us all. We'll have a new teacher conversation dropping soon, so don't flocking miss it.